Today's Shi'ur is Masechtas Zvachim Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Beis, 11 lines from the top. Amar Rav Yochanan Leitir Rameya. We've learned in the previous Shi'ur, Machloikas, going back to the Mishnah of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda, Rameya taking a much more lenient view regarding any act of Malika affecting that even if the bird isn't kosher, Malika will accomplish that much. The bird is a treifa. The Malika will accomplish that much that there won't be tumas nevela, tumas beis hablia from that bird. Comments Rabbi Yochanan, Leitir Rameya Ela B'Tamimim. When Rameya is lenient, he's only lenient regarding birds that are not bali mumin. Av bali mumin, if the bird is a bal mum, then even Rameya will agree that Malika will not take away the tumas nevela or beis hablia. And the reason the Rishonim explain is because what is the fundamental reason that we've been learning in this entire perek, that even if the Malika is not an effective Malika, the Shechita is not an effective Shechita, it still accomplishes so much that there shouldn't be a Tumas Nevela. So the reason we've been explaining is because since the Halacha is an Ololoi Teret, that accomplishes so much that if this carbon is put on the Mizbeach, it may remain there. Therefore, it also accomplishes that there shouldn't be Tumas Nevela. However, if the bird under consideration was a Balmum, there the halacha would be that an Ola Teret, that if it was put on the Mizbech, it should be removed. So since there the halacha would be an Ola Teret, that's why Rameya will agree that by such a bird, Malika will not be effective and there'll be Tumas Nevela. Actually, we've learned many times that Oifis have different rules regarding what disqualifies a bird as a Balmum, different than by Behemoth. Behemoth, the Torah is pretty strict that any animal that has in it a blemish is disqualified to be a carbon. Oifis, we've learned, it has to be a Mechusar Aver. Mechusar Aver means that it's missing a limb. But it's interesting to note that when we're learning our Gemara, the Gemara doesn't say that the bird that's disqualified is a Mechusar Aver. The bird that the Gemara says is disqualified is a Balmum. And that's why some of Farshim suggest, and it's actually Machloikas Rishonim, that not only a bird that's a Mechusar Aver is disqualified, but even a bird that has a significant Mum, even if it's not Mechusar Aver, is disqualified. The only bird that wouldn't be disqualified, the classic case that the Gemara always uses, is Dukin Shiba'ayin. Dukin Shiba'ayin is a cataract. That is a disqualification by an animal, not by a bird. Why would the Rishonim, who say that even birds that are, only birds that are Mechusar Aver disqualified, here it says Bali Mumin, they're going to have to say that when the Gemara here says Bali Mumin, it means Mechusar Aver. Reb Lozomer, Afil Bali Mumin. According to Belazar, according to Rameya, even birds that are Bali Mumin, if Malika was done to them, the halacha will be that they at least accomplish that they won't have Tumas Nevela. Also, before I go further, the Rishonim debate how far to take Rameya's lenient position. Is Rameya's lenient position that Malika accomplishes going to be by bird that's Kachim? Because at least it's Kachim, so it's subject to the Hilchos Malika. But if it's not Kachim, even Rameya will agree that the Malika doesn't help? Or does Rameya say his din even by non-Kachim birds? It Menami, continues the Gemara, Bibi Amar Belezer, B'tayahai Rameya, the Bali Mumin. Rameya says the Bali Mumin, even if they had Malika, you accomplished at least that much, that they won't be Metam Tumas Nevela, but Filiba Avz Metana Goylem. Even by geese and chickens, the same halacha. What's the chiddush of Avz Metana Goylem? Because as we've discussed numerous times, the only birds that can be used for a carbon are Tayrim and Bnei Yoina. Avz Metana Goylem cannot be used. And that's why the chiddush is that even though these birds have no connection to the Mizbeach, still the halacha is that if somebody does malik on them, they're accomplished so much that there won't be tumas nevela. Here too there is shayim debate. What is the case of avzin v'tana goylim? Is it referring to avzin v'tana goylim that somebody was mekadish? And the chiddush of the Gemara is, even though the hegdish is really a meaningless hegdish because you can't bring them on the Mizbeach, that much you'll accomplish that the malika will prevent tumas nevela? Or are we to say that avzin v'tana goylim is not hegdish anyway? The entire maisa hegdish is a meaningless maisa. And what the Gemara here means is regarding that since Ramei says the Malika is always effective, it's effective in Avzim Matana Goylim as well. Ask the Gemara, before we go further, let's just say a word of introduction. We know the Torah in Parashas Kiseitse teaches us the parasha of Eglah Rufa. What's the parasha of Eglah Rufa? The Torah speaks about a corpse that was found between two cities. Loi noida mihikohu. And we don't know who murdered this corpse. The halacha is that the Ziknei here should come and measure which is the closest city. And after the closest city is identified, the Zakenim of that city bring an Egla, a calf, and the calf is decapitated. Egla Rufa. Rufa means decapitation. So ask the Gemara. Barab Yemir, Arav Eiz Mahu. What's going to be the halacha if instead of decapitating a calf, they decapitated a goat? Is the Shala. The Shala Gemara is as follows. Avzin Tana Goylim. You know why if you did Malik on Avzin and Tana Goylim, even though as we just said a moment ago, Avzin and Tana Goylim don't belong in the Mizbeach. Tamamai. The Minat Oifas Nanu. They're all in the family of birds. Yes. Tarim B'nai Yoyna belong in the Mizbeach. Avzin and Tana Goylim don't belong in the Mizbeach. But they're still in that family. Aval Eis. Lav Mina the Eglin Nanu. Totally different family. Goats and calves. Idilma, Minat Beimu, they're all animals. Says the Gemara, Yosef Ravdim v'kom lohal shmatza. Ravdim was sitting and discussing this question. Amle Abaya, Michlal, if we're asking a question, if you did Arifa, if you did the decapitation on a goat, that what would be the halacha? It's obvious that when you did the decapitation on the Egla, it's certainly Torah. Because let's think about it. If you did decapitation on the Egla, which is what you're supposed to do, it wouldn't be Tahar. Then certainly if you did decapitation of a goat, which is what you're not supposed to do, it would be Tameh. If the Gemara is asking about the A's, it's obvious that the Gemara was Poshet, that by an Egla will be Tahar. Michlal, the Egla Rufa, it is to you obvious that the Egla Rufa Tahiri. Amalei in. So he said, absolutely. So Amid Bei Rabbi Yana, and he says, what is the basis for it? Kapara Ksibei, Kekotchen. Since the Torah uses the words Kapara regarding the Egla Rufa, so it's in the same category as Kotchen. And as we have been learning, if you do the Kotchen, certainly if you do it the right way, then there's no Machloikas. The halacha is that there won't be Tumas Nevela. So certainly here you did the Egla Rufa the right way. The halacha is that Egla Rufa will not be Matama. Interesting vart that I saw from the Stipler. The Stipler says like this. Egla Rufa, we're learning, and there's no machlokes on this, that if you decapitate it the proper way, even though it's a nevela, real nevela, decapitation makes the animal into nevela, it's not metama. Nobody argues. What's the halacha about eating the Egla Rufa? You certainly can't eat an Egla Rufa. It wasn't slaughtered properly. It wasn't geshocht properly. So the Stipler wants to know why regarding Hilchas Nevela, regarding Hilchas Tumas Nevela, we say it's not considered a Nevela, and regarding eating, it is considered a Nevela. Either or, if it's a Nevela, it should always be considered a Nevela, both for Tumah and for Achila, and if it's not a Nevela, it's not a Nevela. How do we understand this distinction? So he says a beautiful explanation. It's really fundamental to the entire, all the sugyas that we've been learning. He says as follows. When it comes to Hilchas Tumah, if you follow the instructions that the Torah gave you, then there won't be Tumah. And therefore, even though you decapitated the head of this calf, Egla Rufa, that's what the Torah told you to do. Or, when we discuss Malika, so Malika, as we know, is certainly not a valid Shechita, but that's what the Torah tells you to do. So if you did what the Torah tells you to do, there is no Tumas Nevela. Achila, he says, doesn't depend on following instructions of the Torah. Achila, we're going to learn Mitzvah Masechta Chulin. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta kasha tzivisicha." The Torah gives us very clear instructions. You want to eat a piece of meat? You want to eat a piece of chicken? You have to shecht it. And if you didn't shecht it, even though you followed the instructions of the Torah, you're not allowed to eat that piece of meat. And therefore, it's a nevela regarding achila, and not a nevela regarding tuma. Masr of Nasan Avud Rav Huna V'ochel Loi Sechlua. We discussed the pasuk numerous times. Numerous times. I just want to read the pasuk again. But this is a pasuk that we refer to extensively in our previous year. The pasuk says V'chelav Nevelav V'chelav Treifa Yos L'cha Malacha V'ochel Loi Sechlua. So we explained the pasuk in the previous year. What do we say that this pasuk is teaching us? That there is no tuma on the chelav. There's only tuma. There's only an isra achila. So now ask the Gemara. Masr of Nasan Avud Rav Huna. V'achalai sechlua, eli el chelev sh'as b'achila. So if I would read the pasuk is telling us that the chelev, which is as b'achila, is mut b'hanoa. Chelev sh'ashar ha'niskel. How do we know that the chelev of the shar ha'niskel, or the chelev of the egla rufa, also is not metama, tamaloy mekol chelev? The Torah teaches us that that chelev is not metama. Ask the Gemara, obvious question. In the previous year, what was one of the fundamental concepts that we learned in the previous year? That you could have an animal that's a nevela, and therefore, if you eat, if you come in contact with that animal, you'll be tamei. But the chelev, we don't have to understand why, we just have to understand what. But the Torah says the chelev is excluded. So now ask the Gemara, gevaldige kasha. If we learned yesterday that you could have an animal that is tamei with tumas nevela, it won't affect its chelev, then certainly when you have a case where the animal isn't affected by tumas nevela, the chelev won't be affected by tumas nevela. So now the question is gevaldic. Here we're saying that the Torah has to go out of its way to teach us that the chelev of an egla rufa is not metama. Why do I need a pasuk? If the egla rufa we just finished saying is not metama, and the chelev is always more lenient than the animal, so certainly the chelev is not metama. V'sal k'daitach, egla rufa tairihi, can we have a situation that he tahir v'chel b'tairah? So why do I need a pasuk? Says the Gemara, absolutely. Heich the erif ma'erif, if the animal was decapitated, we followed the instructions, lo yitzruchalei. The animal is not metama, and certainly the chelev is not metama. Ki yitzruch, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? Hechet, the shachta mishkat. Instead of decapitating it, you shechted it. And the egla roof is not supposed to be geshachten, it's supposed to be decapitated. Answers the Gemara, v'tahana le'shchita le'tara m'dei nevela. Absolutely, asked the Gemara. Shchita is not the prescribed formula. But if we learned throughout this perik that shchita is effective, even when you're not supposed to do shchita, let's think about a bird that's kachim. What are you supposed to do by a bird that's kachim? You're supposed to do malika. What would be the halacha if instead of doing malika on that bird, you did shchita? So we learned explicitly in our sugyas that bird won't have tumas nevela. Because shchita accomplishes at least that much. So here too, yes, it's an egla rufa. Yes, the way an egla rufa is supposed to be killed is with decapitation. But certainly the shchita could accomplish that much that it's not a nevela. So that can't be what the pasuk is teaching us. Answer the Gemara, L'tzricha shemesa mechai. L'tzricha shemesa. That the animal just died. Mechlal, the mechaim asra. And the Torah is teaching us that it's egla rufa. So says the Gemara, if we're saying this, it's obviously that the egla rufa becomes asra b'hano already when it's alive. And now we're saying that it's only the egla, not the chelev. It says the Gemara, in, absolutely. Om Rav Yane, gvul shamati. I heard at what point does it become asra b'hano, v'shachachti, and I forgot. But my colleagues reminded me, part of the process of egla rufa is that they had to take it down a rocky mountain terrain. When it was thrown down that rocky mountain terrain, that's when it daloch is, it becomes osba hanor. The next parak that we begin now is actually the parak that's known in the yeshiva world called parak ataruvis. Because the entire parak teaches us the fundamental halachas of Taruvus. Anybody that learned Yerideya knows that a big section of Yerideya teaches us the halachas of Taruvus, when Issa Veheta, when something mutter and something asr get commingled, and what are the rules of bittul. And this perek actually is the perek that teaches us the halachas of taruvus. Obviously, the perek begins with speaking about the halachas of taruvus regarding kachim, but as we get deeper into the perek, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll see that the perek also is not limited to kachim. Actually, as we begin the perek immediately, we see that the perek discusses taruvus of animals, different types of carbonus that got commingled, or pieces of carbon that got commingled. If we recall, we just finished learning in the previous perek, the Gemara quoted extensively from Masechta Kinim. What happened in Masechta Kinim, as we learned? There it's talking about birds that got commingled. So the Rishonim already asked, so it turns out that we have two perakim, or two sugyas and shas that are identical. One is about the commingling of birds, and one is about the commingling of animals. Why do we have to have two sugyas, or two mesechtas, discussing what seems to be essentially the same? So Mefarshim explained. By birds, as we've been learning in this mesechta, who brings a bird? A poor person. Why is a bird brought by a poor person? Because he can't afford an animal. So therefore we would think that by a bird, since it's cheap, so if it gets commingled, you know what, we'll have to let it die. An animal, however, is very expensive. To go tell a person that he already finally was able to buy an animal, that he's going to lose it, is difficult. So maybe we should be more lenient. On the other hand, continued the Mefarshim to say, one of the concepts that will keep on recurring in this Mishnah already in the Perek is the concept of Yirach Yistavu. You let the animal graze until it becomes Balmum, and then we go through a redemption process. Yirach Yistavu is only passable by an animal. Yirach Yistavu is not an option by a bird. There's no concept. We just finished learning the birds don't become even Balimumen unless they're Mechusar Aver. So therefore, we don't have the same options, so we have to have two Perokim to discuss the same concept, essentially. Says the Mishnah. So let's just review the halacha, Rabbi Yisai. The halacha is, there are five cases where there's a halacha l'mosh m'sinai that the Torah says that the karb m'chatas should be left to die. What are they? A vlad chatas, if a chatas which could be brought from a female has a child. A tamuris chatas is that somebody did a tamura on a chatas. Chatas shemesa baleho, that if the owner before the owner designated a carbon, and then the owner, before he was able to bring the carbon, Rahman al-Slam passed away. Chatos sh'avr sh'nasa, a chatos that the animal, till the animal was actually brought as a carbon, became over a year old. The halach is that the only animal that can be brought for a carbon chatos is an animal within its first year. And a chatos sh'avda. A chatos means like there's somebody designated an animal for carbon chatos, and he loses that animal. So he goes and he designates another animal. So then the first animal is found. That first animal, the halacha is mesa, it's left to die. Interesting to point out, the Brisker Rav says, that this halacha of chata sha'ovda, that if the animal was lost, and then it's found, the halacha l'mash m'sinai, that it's left to die, says the Brisker Rav, that's only if the first animal was only found after the replacement animal was brought on the Mizbeach. But let's say the first animal was found before the replacement animal was bought. So here you have an issue. You have two karmachatas. You have two animals for karmachatas. And as we've learned many, many times, you can't voluntarily bring a karmachatas. So you only can bring one animal. I'm not going to suggest that you should do an aver in order to bring a karmachatas. So you have one extra animal. So that animal obviously will have to die, but it won't be mesa that you have to kill it. There the halacha on that animal will be not mesa, but rather yirach yistavu. So as the Gemara, the first piece of Gemara after the Mishnah teaches us, what happened here was that we had many kosher animals, many animals that could be brought in the Mizbeach, and we had one carbon chatos shemesa that got commingled with all of these animals. The halacha is that none of them could be brought in the Mizbeach. And that falls into the category of what we're going to discuss in our parak. We don't say bittul. Or, b'shar haniskal. We know that under certain circumstances, most notably, as we learned in the sect of a kama, if a shar kills somebody, and they were edim, that shar must be killed. That shar is also b'hano. And here too, we have a circumstance where that shar haniskal got commingled with animals that are karbonis. All of those animals, afil achas b'ribua. even if it's one, you have thousands of kosher animals and one disqualified animal, all of them, you must call them, all of them should be put to death. Why? Because on every animal, we don't know if this is not the animal that's the Shor HaNiskal, if this is not the animal that the Torah requires that should be put to death, and because of that, they all should be put to death. Interesting point that the Achroina make. The Bris Gerov discusses this, the Chikrei Lev discusses this. We're talking about a Shor HaNiskal. Okay? So what is the halacha? The Torah doesn't just say Shor HaNiskal is to be killed. The Torah says a Shor HaNiskal should be killed with skila. So what will be the halacha they discuss? Our case, we have all of these animals. One of them is a Shor HaNiskal. We obviously don't know which one. So the Mishnah is paskening that they should all be put to death. How are they put to death? Are they put to death with skila? Because there's one animal that requires skila. Or is it just that they're put to death? So they all are medayik. Look at the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say yiskalu kulan. The Mishnah says the wording yemusu kulan. They should all be put to death. What is the Mishnah teaching us? That they don't have to have skila. Aye, isn't there one animal here that requires skila? So why shouldn't they all have to have skila? So he says a very bechidish. Where does the Torah require that this animal be put to death by skila? When we know for sure that this is the animal that's supposed to have skila. But since over here I don't know which is the animal that has to be stoned, then there's no chiyuv skila. There's a chiyuv misa, but the chiyuv skila only exists when I can know for sure that the animal is mechuyev skila. Here I don't know which animal is the animal that's mechuyev skila, so you don't have to give skila to any of them. Continues the Mishnah. Nis'av de b'shar shenev b'aveira. And the way Rashi explains, Rashi says what the Mishnah means here is, nis'av de b'shar shenev b'aveira is like a heading. That we're now going to discuss cases where the animal got commingled with another animal that's not as serious as the previous case. Because in the previous case, Shor HaNiskal or Achatas HaMeisis is Osa Bahano. Here it's not Osa Bahano, but you can't bring it as a carbon. So the Gemara gives us a number of examples. The first is Shehemis is Adam Mishnah, Shehemis is Adam Pi'eir Echad. That the Shor killed somebody else only in the presence of one aid. And as we learned in the Sechta Bavakama, Kemisis Habalim Kach Mises Ashor. Just like a person can't be sentenced to death unless there are two Adam that could say that to testify, so too a Shor can't be put to death only on the basis of two Adam. But such a Shor that killed somebody clearly cannot be brought as a carbon. Oy api abalim. What does this mean? That it's only the owner that come to Besdin and say, my Shor killed somebody, that the halacha is that Shor is not put to death. So obviously, when you read this line of the Mishnah, all of you are thinking the question. That's an obvious question. Throughout Shas, we have a halacha of Haidos Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami. If I walk into Besdin and I say, I owe you $100, so we don't need Edom, we don't need Shtaris, I admit that I owe you the money, I have to pay. So here, why don't we say the same thing? If I walk into Besdin and I tell Besdin that my Shor killed, so isn't that a case of Haidos Bal Din Kamei Edom that I should be mechuyev, that Shor should be a Shor HaNiskal? Why are we saying that's not Chayv Skila? So there are three approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is going back to what I just mentioned a moment ago. There's a concept of Kemisis Abalim Kach Mises Ashor. And just like, what would be the halach if somebody walked into Besdin and admitted, Rachman al Tzlan, that he committed a murder? Besdin won't accept it. Kamisa Zabal, Kachmisa Zashor, so too will be the halacha by the Shor. You need two independent Aden, not the owner. One approach. Another approach is that this is a case of Moide B'Knas. We've learned many times that Moide B'Knas, if somebody admits that he owes somebody else money, but the money that he owes is not money that's a payment, like I borrowed money and I'm Moide, I owe you the money, but rather it's a Knas, it's a fine. So the halacha Moide B'Knas is Potter. Putting the Shor to death is a knas, and therefore it's a moed b'knas, it's potter. The third pshat that the Rishonim suggest is Odom Karav Eitzel Mamoinai. Just like you can't say Eidus about a relative because you're Nogeya, and even if you're saying Eidus against your relative, let's say somebody comes and says bad about his relative, doesn't make a difference. A Karav is possible, the same thing is regarding his mom. What are some of the nafkaminas between these two pshatim? I'll mention two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is regarding the halacha of inui hadin. The halacha is that if some, we learned the Gemara's Masechta Sanhedrin, that if somebody's sentenced to death or any punishment, it has to be given immediately. If the Torah is meaning the Chadash, that Kemisas Abal and Kachmisas Ashar, we treat the Shar like the Adam, there'll be a halacha that if a Shar is sentenced to death, he'll have to be put to death immediately. Inui hadin. Another nafkamina is if it's a vort of Kemisas Abalim Kachmisas Ashar, so yes, the halacha will be that I come and say testimony about my Shar, I'm not believed. But what will be if after I said the testimony, two independent Adam come and say, then the Shar will be put to death. But if we say that the Lomdus here is Maida B'Knas, so we learn together the famous Machloikis of Maida B'Knas V'Ach Kach Ba Adam. And there's a mandom that says that once you're Maida B'Knas, even if Ach Kach Ba Adam, so I don't need your Haidah, I don't need your admission, you're still Potter. So if the reason over here that the Shor is not to put to death because it's a Maida B'Knas, even if afterwards Adam will come and independently say that we know that this Shor killed, it wouldn't make a difference, it would not be put to death. But Raiva V'Nirva, Rav Nimra means an animal that sodomized or was sodomized, that such an animal is possible for carbon, but muksa. Muksa, so we always learned in yeshiva, muksa means an animal designated for avodah zara. But today, I saw that it's really a little more complex. Machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam says that muksa, it's not just that you went and you designated verbally that the animal should be an avodah zara, but it has to be that it was an act of avodah zara that was actually somewhat worshipped. Just saying words aren't enough. That's the Rambam's pshat. Rashi has a different approach. Rashi says, if you verbalize and you articulate that this animal is an avodah zara, it will be considered muksa. But Rashi says a very bechidish. Well, bir aloch, if you designate an animal for avodah zara, and then you give it over to the priest, and they go and they use it. So their action of using it for their personal use negates, nullifies your designation and will no longer be nevad. The Ratvaz has a very interesting approach. He tries to make shalom between Rashi and the Rambam. He says it matters what your designation was. If your designation was that it should be takruvus avodah zarah, so their verbal designation, there, takruvus avodah zarah, verbal designation will not be enough. You have to show, you have to give it over to the priest. If, on the other hand, your designation was that it should be actually not just a takruvus avodah zarah, but it should actually be avodah zarah, verbal designation will be adequate. However, if you went and you verbally designated it that it should be an avodah zarah, and then when you gave it over to the priest, they go and they use it for their own personal needs, so that shows that they're nullifying your designation. They'll never use an animal for avodah zarah that they use for the personal use, and therefore won't be considered muktzah. Nevad, nevad means an animal that was actually worshipped. Esnan, we know, is an animal that was given to a zayin in payment. Mechir is an animal that was given in exchange for a dog. Beklayim means an animal that's a hybrid of two different animals. All of these are examples of animals that may not be brought on the Mizbeach. Betreifa means an animal that's a treifa, that we know the animal's a treifa. So this too is an animal that may not be brought on the Mizbeach. Or Beyotze Doifin. Beyotze Doifin is an animal that was born through cesarean section. It wasn't born naturally. It too may not be brought on the Mizbeach. So Yirach Yistavu. So what happens is as follows. What happened? We had a carbon, an animal that's a carbon, that's a kosher animal, that's a perfectly fine animal, that got intermingled with one of these other animals. Again, we're not able to identify which is which. So I can't bring any of these animals on the Mizbeach. Why can't I bring any of the animals on the Mizbeach? Because there's always the possibility that you bring the animal which is disqualified for the Mizbeach. What do? Yirash Yistavu, we wait till the animal, we let the animals graze until they become Balmum. Because as long as the animal is not a balmum, this is a very important concept, as long as the animal is not a balmum, I'm not allowed to sell it, or I'm not allowed to redeem it. Because an animal that has on it a kedushas haguf, you can't just redeem. So the only way that we could go through a redemption process is waiting for the animal to become balmum. Because then the halach is that even though the animal had a kedushas haguf, once it becomes a balmum, it may be redeemed. V'yimachru v'yav b'dmeh yav b'shebehen ma'isamnin. Which means as follows. Let's think about the following situation. We had here a group of animals and a group of non-kosher animals, make it an easier case, because Rishayim said you can learn in the Mishnah either way. And the animal that's kachim fell in between them. And I don't know which one is which. So I wait for all the animals to become balmum, because until they're balmum, I can't redeem it, as I just said. But you know, there are no two animals that are equal in value. So now when I have all these animals and I have to sell them, how do I know? So I get different price for different animal. Each one has a different price. Since I don't know which animal was the kachim animal, I always need to be concerned that the most expensive one was the kachim animal. Because I don't know which one was the kachim, which wasn't the kachim. And therefore I have to assume, because of a suffix, that the most expensive animal was the kachim animal, and that will be the value that I have to spend to replace to bring a carbon. Next case. Nis'avu b'chulun tamim. Here we refer to a different situation altogether. Here you have animal, it's a much easier case. You have your animal that you designated as a carbon. It got commingled with regular fine behemoths that are not kachim. And again, we have the same challenge because we don't know which is the animal that's kachim and which is the animal that are chulin. So what we should do, yimachru chulin l'tzarchei ha'yisamin. Let's think about this case. I had an animal that I designated to be a carbon oiler. Then that animal that I designated to be a carbon oiler got mixed together with 9 other animals that are just regular animals. And I don't know which one is the carbon oiler, and the animal that's a carbon oiler has a kedush, it's a guf. I can't just take it and do whatever I want with it. So what we do is, we look for 9 other individuals who want to bring a carbon oiler. And we say, here we have animals that have to be brought as a carbon oiler. Use this animal. Do me a favor. Take this animal. And they really have a reason not to care, because as long as they can fulfill their obligation, they fulfill their obligation. But now we have to be very careful, says Rashi. What does the Kohen do when he brings the animal? There's one animal here that's for sure mine. So he can't say, which is normally the case when a Kohen brings a carbon, that I'm bringing this carbon for this individual and this carbon for that individual. Because we don't really know who owns which animal. So what we say is, all the Kohen says is that he's bringing the carbon for whoever is the owner. Whoever is the owner, that is for whom I'm bringing the carbon. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos is troubled. Because if you recall, we learned earlier in our Masechta, I think it was in the Daf Mems, a machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi says, having a machshava is dangerous. Because you could end up having the wrong machshava. So ask Tosfos and Rashi, how could you go and tell this Kohen to make this declaration? Aren't we supposed to avoid machshavas? Because you could end up with the wrong machshava. So the simple teretz is that Rashi is following the opinion of Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yossi. But I saw the arm of Farshman that want to defend Rashi. And they say, that when does Rabbi Yossi say that having a machshava can lead to trouble? Is when you have a very explicit machshava. When you're going down to all the fine details, you may end up with the wrong detail. Saying a very broad statement that I just said, that whoever's the owner should have a kapara, is such a broad and vague machshava that even Rabbi Yossi could allow you to have such a machshava. Continues the Mishnah. Kachim b'kachim. Let's say my carbon oiler with your carbon oiler got mixed up. Mim b'minoi. Zayikra l'mishahu. Zayikra l'mishahu. We don't know which is mine, which is yours. So the Kohen should bring both kabbanas and say whoever's the owner of the particular carbon should have a kapara. Kachim b'kachim, mim b'sheinu minoi. Here we have a more complicated situation. I designated an animal for carbon oiler. You designated an animal for carbon chatas. And now, as we learned so extensively in our Masechta, the avoid of a carbon oiler and the avoid of a carbon chatas are very different avoiders. So now what do? So says the Mishnah, kachim b'kachim, mim b'sheinu minoi. So I can't just say that I'm going to bring them both as an oiler, because they're not both oilers. and I can't switch an oila into a chattis or a chattis into oila. You can't just do that. So here again, the halach is yirat yistavu v'yavu d'mei yafish ben minzer or d'mei yafish ben minzer v'yashtud hamoys mebeisai, which means as follows. It's really a combination of all of the concepts that we've just learned. I have an animal that I designated as a carbon oila. You have an animal that you designated as a carbon chattis. These two animals get mingled together. We don't know which is which. We can't just use one for an oiler, arbitrarily decide one's an oiler, one's a chattis, because we may be making the wrong choice. And we can't just make an oiler chattis, and we can't just make a chattis an oiler. So what do? We wait for them to become balimum. Once they become balimum, they could be redeemed. The machloikis, how the redemption, Rashi gives two lishoinis, how the redemption works. Could it go directly to the money, or it has to be a two-step procedure? It doesn't make a difference to the pshat that we're learning. But here we have the same challenge that we had before. These two animals that I'm discussing are not necessarily equal in value. So one is more expensive than the other. So how do I know which one was mine and which one is yours? So the halacha is, because we don't know, we have to assume that the expensive animal was mine and the expensive animal was yours. And that, because we can't arbitrarily assign one animal to me and one animal to you, both of us have to spend as if we both gave the more expensive animal and use the higher value for the redemption animal that we're going to bring as a carbon. Says the Mishnah, next case. Nisa'avu b'chor ma'isa, yir shi'istavu, v'yoichlik b'chor ma'isa. It's very interesting. When we look at a b'chor, when we look at a ma'isa, so when I think about carbon b'chor, when I think about carbon ma'isa, I always think that those are the lowest level kedusha. First of all, we know the kachim kalim. We know that a b'chor that's a balmum you could eat. So you always think of it as the lowest level kedusha. Teaches us the Mishnah, sometimes that could cause problems. Why? There's a halacha. The Gemara Masechet Bechairis discusses this halacha extensively. The halacha is that a b'chor that becomes a balmum, that is not brought on the Mizbeach, still has in it vestiges of kedusha. What does it mean that it has in it vestiges of kedusha? You can't just go sell it in the butcher shop. You can't just weigh it on a scale. So now let's think about this case. I had a carbon oiler. You had a bechor. These two animals get mixed together. So what I would have normally done, that we just learned a moment ago, wait till they become a balmum, etc., won't work here because I can't just go sell the bechor. Because I can't sell the bechor in the butcher shop. So that's why the Mishnah says, Nisav b'chor ma'isa, yirash yistav, we have to wait to become balmum, v'yach b'chor ma'isa, where we have to eat them, the animals that become balimum, that I now will redeem, I still have to treat with kedusha. Because the halacha is, that an animal, let's think about this, an animal that has on it a kedusha saguf, a very high level kedusha saguf, an oila, a chatos, when you redeem it, you don't have any limitations. A b'chor and a ma'isa, do still have limitations. And since I don't know which animal is the bechor and which animal was the oila, so I have to treat all of these animals as if they were bechor, and even though they become balmum, all of the limitations that apply to bechor will remain. Says the Mishnah, Hakol yichol mus'arif. We could always have a circumstance that animals could mingle together. My oila, my chatas, my oila, my shlam, they all could get mixed up, and I won't know which is which. Chutz min achatas asham. If I have an animal that's designated as a chatos, and you have an animal that's designated as an osham, there we can never get mixed up. Why? Because an osham comes from an ayil, and a chatos doesn't come from an ayil. So we'll know that the ayil was the osham, and the other animal was the chatos. Before you go further, there's a beautiful verse from the Sefer Paninim Yikarim that he uses this Mishnah for. He actually is coming to answer a question that the Zohar poses. The Zohar says that we know that the Torah in Parshas Noach tells us that when Noach leaves the Teva, what does he do? He builds a Mizbeach. And he brings on it Kabbonis from the animals that he had in the Teva. Ask the Zohar, obviously, Noach knew the power of a carbon. Because what did he do as soon as he left the Teva? He built a Mizbeach. So, ask the Zohar, so why don't we find in the Torah that Noach ever built the Mizbeach and brought Kabbonis before he went to the Teva, before the Mabul. In fact, maybe the schus of the Kabbonis, we're speaking in our Masech, the power of Kabbonis, maybe the schus of Kabbonis would have saved the world from the Mabul. Says the Pnini Mikarim. We all remember the Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, Ki hishchus kabosoi es darko la'aretz, afilu behemis mezavgim b'she'en aminam. There were animals that acted inappropriately. So Noach, every time he wanted to bring a carbon before the Mabul, every time he came to an animal, he didn't know if this was an animal, shenev de ba'avera. And what did our Mishnah teach us? That when you have a suffix, if this is the animal, shenav de ba'avera, you can't bring it as a carbon. So Noach, as much as he might have wanted to bring a carbon, had no choice. But what does Rashi also teach us in Parashas Noach? That which animals were allowed onto the Teva? Only animals that never did an Avera. So only when Noach left the Teva, he knew all the animals that were on the Teva were animals that were clean animals, that never did an Avera. That was his first opportunity to bring a carbon. Says the Mishnah. Maya filu. The Mishnah, if we learn the Mishnah simply, the Mishnah is teaching us that you have one animal, the beginning of the Mishnah, we go back to, that you have one animal that's kachim, kol hazvachim, getting mixed together with many animals that are not good. So of course, we have roiv that are not good. So what's the Mishnah teaching us? Of course, we have to be concerned. My afilu, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Just the opposite of what we thought. We have many animals that are fine. And into this group of animals that are good, that are kachim, or are good to be kachim, fell in a chatas hamesa, or fell in a shara nisko, afilu echabribu, even if the ratio is 1,000 to 1, 1,000 good animals versus one animal that's problematic, still the halacha is, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur, we don't say bittel and yemusukuma.